Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction again to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. On this Follow the White Rabbit, this should be number 12, I'm going to do a total review. The reason I'm going to do a total review on 12 is because Horus had 12 followers in ancient Egypt. Yes, Horus the Avenger had 12 followers in ancient Egypt. 4,000 or 5,000 years later, Jesus had 12 apostles. How about that? So on 12, we're going to do a total review. In the first couple episodes, I went into Bob Whitaker. There's too much mystery about talking points and practical politics. So what I tried to do was demystify it. I demystified it by demystifying Bob, because you can get on Stormfront. Everyone knows who he is on Stormfront. Anyone that's been around this struggle knows who he is or has heard him speak once. They may not understand what he does. I did that. I demystified him, and I used his name, and I tried to explain things to you for the same exact reason I didn't tell you who I am. I made myself into a character, Horus the Avenger. The biggest problem we've had, the biggest challenge, is that you have a huge network all across the world of White Rabbits. It's nothing like anyone's ever seen. They're not on a consistent message. You don't have a talking point. You don't have a consistent message. We've got one. We got to start putting it out there. And at the same time, there's a challenge here. Because all over the Western world, the white world, from Russia to Europe to North America, all over Anglosphere, you only have a couple dozen spokesmen at best. Most of you only have one or two favorites, and you probably can't name a dozen spokesmen for the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. Can you? Oh, that's problematic. That's problematic. But why is it problematic? It's problematic because a handful of them know what Bob Whitaker does. He knows. They know that we're here. They know we have a consistent message. But they feel every time they use something, they have to give him credit or give us credit over at WhitakerOnline.org. That's WhitakerOnline.org. And that's the antithesis of practical politics. You have to use it for your own greedy little self. In other words, you don't see the president. When the president says it's time for change, that's a big, big, huge slogan they put on that campaign. Very well timed. It's just one of the best ones I've seen in my lifetime. It was timed with the sun, moon, and stars and everything else. It's a billion-dollar slogan. The president doesn't give them credit. That's not their job. Their job is not to get credit. Their job is to put things out there. But it becomes a challenge, because if you feel loyal to someone or you like someone, you say, I got this from Dr. David Duke, and you give him credit. You like that. That's fine. But in our business and in practical politics, in our neck of the woods, you don't give us credit. You just take it and use it greedily for yourself. And so it becomes a challenge, because they want to use things, but they keep on giving other people credit and stuff like that, simply because there's not that many people, and a lot of people don't understand how practical politics works. So I had to demystify Bob, and I had to, at the same time, not add a new name to the mix. Because if you add a new name to the mix, then all of a sudden you're thinking Horus the Avenger. Horus the Avenger is Bob Smith, and you're going to thank Bob Smith. Why? Because you feel you know me personally or something, so you thank me. When in fact, that's the antithesis of what we want you to do. We want you to take something and use it radically, like a greedy little white rabbit, for your own benefit. When you do that, you help out all white rabbits. And there are many ways to go about doing that. But I didn't hide my name because I'm worried about anything. Anyone with any intelligence knows exactly who Horus the Avenger is. They've already started jumping up and down over it. They know who I am. They know what we're doing. I'm not afraid of that. We don't break any rules. It is what it is. But if I add my name to it, not all of a sudden you're going to thank me personally. I don't want to add that, because that's the challenge we've had with Mr. Whitaker. Everyone likes him. Everyone wants to thank him when they use something, but that is not what we do. That's something David Duke may do. That's something your other, Don Black or one of the other, whatever white nationalist local group you like. That's something they do. Sam Dixon, Tom Sunek. Yeah, you thank them when you use their stuff. Kevin McDonald, you thank him when you use our stuff. You're supposed to use our stuff like a greedy little animal, like a greedy little white rabbit, for your own self-interest and whatever that means. But you never thank us. It's kind of like the president. Every one of you have seen a president. They'll have a thing with the president's speechwriters. It's kind of common sense. You know the president has a speechwriter. Most people in this country don't know the president has a slogan writer. The president has a talking point writer. The Republicans have a talking point writer. In fact, if you were to go to the German SPD or the Democratic Party of America, you would be able to call a local office and they'll come out and talk to you, do an interview for a television program about any topic you want, and they'll have a consistent set of talking points developed. Well, the challenge is if you want to do an interview with a white nationalist, you're probably going to have to call several states away or maybe even another country. There's just not that many spokesmen out there. They all know each other. They all know of each other, and they don't use each other's stuff without thanking each other. But that's the antithesis of what we do. What we do is give you something to use yourself, and you don't ever have to thank us. And so it's kind of like we're asking you kind of, you know, white rabbits are very nice. They have a conscience. If you didn't, you wouldn't be a white rabbit, and I'd have a whole new set of race issues to deal with. But you have a conscience, so you want to thank us, and that's fine. That's what's wonderful, but that's not what this is about. This is about you using a slogan to put it up, to use it in whatever way you shape, man, or formed. Because every time you say it, every time you use this stuff, it helps out white rabbits. And let me come at this from a couple different angles. If you go to WhitakerOnline.org, that's WhitakerOnline, you look at the copyright policies. This has been on Bob Whitaker's site since mid-90s probably, whenever his first site came out. And he started putting stuff together. Robert Whitaker grants full and free use of his ideals, writings, especially as they pertain to aiding others in the stating the facts about white genocide, white race genocide, and its agenda of forced non-white immigration, integration into all white countries and only white countries. What he's saying is, take my stuff and do what the Republicans did for decades. You know, anytime they had anything intelligent, it was most likely Bob Whitaker's stuff with someone else's name on it. You know, Tom Daschle doesn't write stuff a lot of times. People write stuff for him and they put his name on it. But you're totally allowed to do that with our stuff, to promote yourself in any way you shape, manner, or form, as long as it has to do with helping out the indigenous white rabbits of Europe, and as long as it involves our consistent message. And this was exemplified just the other day on the blog. Someone asked if they could, and I'll read you the exact quote. Let me find the exact quote. Someone asked if they could run Bob's writings on their website, and his response is going to be always the same. You know, Newsnet writes, great article I just watched in 1984. On a side note, if Mr. Whitaker could contact me, I would like to discuss having his post on my site. Newsnet, you can use them. That's what they're there for. Yeah, you can use all our stuff in any way you shape, manner, or form, as long as it's for the benefit of putting out a consistent message. Now, what does that mean? That means precisely this. If you were to redo my stuff in broken English so that maybe someone that doesn't speak, let me give you an example. Right now, I speak kind of fast. It's easy for English speakers. Some like it, some hate it, but they can pick it up. They can at least understand it, and it may be addictive, maybe not, but they understand where I'm going with that, and they'll use the talking points, or at least a percentage of them will. In Northern Europe and some parts of Europe, they don't speak very fast English. And so another associate wants to redo some parts for non-native English speakers in English, a little bit slower. That's fine. I don't care if he calls himself me and gets rich doing it. I don't care, as long as he's putting out a consistent message. I don't care if someone redoes a whole entire thing, everything I've done, in whatever way they see fit, in Italian. I don't speak Italian. I don't care. I don't care if they call themselves Horace the Avenger and get rich doing it. There's no copyrights here. One of the difficulties is you have a conscience. Yes, you want to thank us. And that's fine for your local white or that's fine for your favorite group you send donations to, but that's not what we do. We make you look like, you know, if you want to be a political animal, if you want to be a political superstar, you have to have superstar talking points. That's kind of common sense. So the way they made Obama look like a superstar is simply he had good stuff. We understand that. But that's what you have. Many people have been afraid to use Bob's stuff because they figure if they use it, everyone knows it's Bob's and they got to give him credit, or they're hesitant using it. Well, that's the antithesis of what we need you to do. And one of the challenges, there are so few leaders out there in front. What you see is what you get. Wonderful thing about Bob is he is what you see is what you get. You can do your homework on him. You can't necessarily do your homework on me if you know my name. But that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. You can do your homework on Bob. You can come to a conclusion whether or not it's good, whether or not you want to use them. You can try them. If you try them, you'll figure out this stuff works. This is like hitting rabbits over the head with a carrot. It does what we're conditioning. That's what we're doing. But it is the antithesis of what you are used to doing. And so we understand that, and I want to make you aware of that. You can use this stuff in any way you see fit to promote to get out the message of an attempt at genocide. And basically, one of the ways a consistent message is important is let's go to an event everyone on the planet knows about, American Revolution. In American Revolution, Thomas Paine had common sense. You know, all the idealism goes to the second page. Common sense goes first. The consistent message, the talking points based on common sense goes first. We have a couple Thomas Paines, actually. One you can find out about, Mr. Whitaker. Others you won't. But all you need to know is you have a common sense, the mantra. The technology behind how it works and why it works is just sound, saying it over and over again. The different talking points and whatnot. It's just a matter of repetition. But you have that. The reason it works is because it basically crystallizes a network. Right now, all across the globe, it doesn't matter what your group is or what group you like to or what leader you like listening to. There's no consistent message first. In other words, you have to put a consistent message first to play baseball effectively. You have to put common sense in front of the greedy businessman. You know, some of the businessmen in the revolution, even Hallmark names, only wanted property from the Indians, or only wanted to, they were sick of loyalists. They wanted better business deals with Europe. That happened in the American Revolution. Sure, they're not all wonderful. Thomas Paine was very, very radical. He just wanted a revolution. But that revolution first starts on a mental level. It doesn't matter whether you're dealing steel, playing basketball, you know, getting out and dealing steel against rabbits, or it's a full-on, full-spectrum type of velvet revolution or political revolution on some level. You have to have a consistent message. That's where it all begins. So what I want you to do is I want you to use the mantra in any way you see fit. You can make it your own. I'd prefer you just copy and paste it and use it. Use the talking points. You can make them your own. Or you can I don't care. But you must be on a consistent message. It does two things. It crystallizes the network. It puts your idealism, it actually brings your idealism to the forefront. Why? Because it advertises to everyone looking at you that you play baseball. You understand that? When the greedy businessmen in the American Revolution decided they needed to get on board with Thomas Paine, they needed to go ahead and fund that, or they needed to put common sense in front of their, or use it. A lot of them use that type of stuff to get better business deals. Hey, we went with your revolution, now we want better deals. That's fine. They used it greedily to promote themselves. But by promoting common sense, by promoting Thomas Paine's message, they also promoted themselves in the process. So anytime you promote the mantra, anytime you promote our talking points, you not only advertise you play baseball, that you're not hard-headed, and you can be hard-headed when it comes to business or whatever, but what it says is you're on a baseball team, and you're advertising that. Yeah, I mean, if you're just saying, pushing out statistics on black crime from Amrim, that's fine. American Renaissance, that's fine. If you're pushing that out with a mantra, with our stuff, with your consistent message, you're advertising that you play baseball. And that's why it's important. It crystallizes a network. And crystallization, let's see what it, you know, a lot of Europeans don't understand these English terms, so let me go into it. A homogeneous solid, this is the definition of crystallization. A homogeneous solid formed by repeating three-dimensional pattern of atoms, ions, or molecules and having fixed distances between constituent parts. The important part of it is to make or become definitive or clear. To make or become definitive or clear. That's what we're doing. We're crystallizing a message. Once the message crystallized, the whole entire network comes together. It doesn't matter your idealism. Someone was talking to someone on Whitaker Online about a white living space. These are very common in somewhere like America because there's a lot of land. A white living space in the Northeast or a white living space in the Midwest, don't have a problem with that. White rabbits need a home. Why? There's an attempt at genocide against them. Right? So you put the mantra first. You can easily just copy and paste the mantra on that web page. That's fine. But what you're doing when you do that, your idealism, you're saying our idealism is important. Our ideal is important, but we're also baseball players. If you have a talk show like Truck Roy has a talk show. He's basically melding in a consistent message. Now he's putting his own spin on it. He's making it his own. He's making the talking points his own to some extent. He'll probably make the mantra his own to some extent. Another group that already does this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool is the only legitimate conservative radio show in North America. Why is it the only legitimate conservative radio show in North America? Because they're on a consistent message. So they become legitimate in our eyes. Yes, the people that run Political Cesspool... What is his name? He has a blog actually, and James Edwards. James Edwards runs the Political Cesspool, and he's a commentator. He's on a mantra style consistent message. Does that mean he goes over it every day on the show? No. Does that mean he works it in when he can? Yes. That means everything's race, 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 and his show is always about promoting. Pointing out double standards. It doesn't matter whether it's the Jews. He's going to name it. Doesn't matter whether it's liberals or even conservatives. He's hard on everybody, but he's going to come back to a consistent message. He's going to be on a mantra style message. And that's why he's going to get support. It. Truck Roy gets on a mantra. He comes on a consistent message. That's just how it works. You're advertising. You play baseball. You know, basketball is another game. I'll get to basketball in a few minutes. But I've already spent enough time telling you that's not the game going. You got to play baseball. But to even start playing baseball, you got to have a consistent message, and you got to come up to bat, and you got to advertise that. You advertise that by being on a consistent message. There are many ways to go about it. I'm giving you a what you see is what you get. When you get into Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh gets Republican talking points all the time. He doesn't necessarily do the standard ones. He makes them his own. Bill Clinton was a legend for doing that on the fly. You can make any of this your own. You can stick to the basics. In your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. Every time you do that, you help out white rabbits. Our side is always underestimated sound. The average human being on this planet has underestimated sound. But in your whole entire life, you've been controlled by sound. Every time someone screams racist, you know, your hair crawls and you sit back and be quiet. That's pretty powerful. Sound is everything. But of course, everything has to be timed. The biggest frustration when you're dealing with Anglosphere in some parts of Europe is a level of demoralization. In America, it took 15 years just to neutralize it. You know, and there's two ways to neutralize a demoralized society, a society that is basically under psychological warfare. You would use the term brainwash, but heavy-duty psychological warfare. The two ways are, of course, you get in power and you change the textbooks. That didn't happen. But there's another way. You can have a radical new technology that just destroys it. And anytime you get a new technology, demoralization halts. It comes to complete halt. Anytime you get a new technology, active measures, any type of psychological warfare will just get jammed. True information starts seeping in. When that happens, you put the clock on it. You put the clock on it. If you have something you really can't talk about, like the Hebrews, like the Jews, look out. It's gonna suck to that new information for them, right? Is that what happened? But it takes that long. You know, 93, 95, I say 93, so by 2008, you know, you're starting to hear this. Right now you're hearing me. Well, it's time. But it takes that long. That's how toxic this stuff is. But basically, you have to have a consistent message to crystallize. You got to crystallize all that group. You got to put everything together. The network immediately comes together. The idealism is always going to be separate. In the American Revolution, they all had all these different radical ideals. Some businessmen, some greedy businessmen, some radical bloodthirsty revolutionaries. Some of them just interested in land. Some interested in just interested in politics. But all that came second to baseball, all that came second to their consistent message, all that came second to common sense. But a lot of them use common sense to greedily support themselves or greedily promote themselves. Nothing wrong with that, because every time they promoted common sense, they promoted the revolution, which in fact promoted their business interests, so on and so forth. Nothing wrong with that. Everyone's got different motivations, and this stuff is very dynamic. But don't underestimate the power of sound. Most of you, in fact, everyone hearing this, will have been driving in a car at one time, get to work, 3 hours later, a song pop in your head, and you can't even remember hearing it on the way to work. You can't unhear something. What's interesting when it comes to the mantra, and if you listen to White Rabbit Genocide, that's my version of the mantra, it's serious stuff, but one of the interesting things about it is we had conditioned for three or four years prior online, doing Usenet and stuff like that. I don't really know, but they were copying and pasting it across several different forums, several different groups, several different forums globally. Just recently, I've had someone from a conservative forum and another from an environmental forum saying that they'd seen the mantra before. Well, that's kind of interesting, because you're dealing with a new technology like the internet. I didn't know how that would work. You know, typically you condition with different sounds. I don't know if you can unread something, or I don't know if people can remember things that they just sort of read 3 years ago. I don't know. It's such a new technology. We didn't know how that would work. But that had been done 3 years prior to you hearing me. Everything's done in steps. It's a patented process, but when you start talking to the internet, that's new. Twitter is very new. This stuff is very, very new. But I spent a lot of time telling you about demystifying Bob is essential, so you use his stuff. Making myself into another legitimate name that you can think is bad news. It's bad news. It's counterproductive. If I were to come out, I was asked by actually three different groups now, if I'd like to do a radio show, put out the message they would like me to do a radio show talking about politics or fascinated by my political analysis. I'm very flattered by that. And I explained to all of them that I had to do this. This was not for my own purposes. Horus the Avenger is for the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. I'm not doing this to promote myself. I told them that if I did a show, it would be under my own name. How about that? My own name, I would do a show, and that's how that would work someday. I don't have a problem with that, I don't guess, other than I don't really have the time for it right now, but you get my point. This isn't about me, but it is about you. And I want you to use greedily for your own interests, like James Edwards will at the political cesspool. Is he on I don't even know if he knows that we got out talking points. They're pretty new. This stuff is new. You haven't heard me before. It's very, very new. Maybe a friend just told you about me. Well, that's I'm here for you. I'm here to pass on info, so on and so forth. But it's very important for you to understand, your little white rabbit heads, how this stuff works. To demystify it, and I don't want to add myself a new mystery. If I were to run for politics, I would run as my own name. I would bring out my own name, and I would use this greedily for my own interest, knowing that I'm advertising I'm a baseball player. This is the game going. The game going right now is baseball. You got to play baseball. To play baseball, you got to have a consistent message, and you got to use that to promote yourself greedily in whatever way you shape, manner, or form. But every time you defend yourself by saying, in your opinion, I'm a racist, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. Guess what? Anytime you open your mouth and say that, you help out white rabbits. You will second-guess this technology until you see it work. I mean, you might second-guess, oh, well, yes, we can, but a lot of stupid white rabbits voted for him, didn't they? Don't second-guess what we're doing. Know what we're doing. Bob Whitaker, they called up Stormfront, and they wanted someone out from Stormfront on Fox News. And I told you, Bob Whitaker went out there. He said the mantra twice. The cameraman dropped the camera. He was on a, we're on a list. They don't want us to talk. Why? We don't do anything illegal, but we show you how to play baseball. They don't want you knowing we exist. Well, there's a reason for that. Use our talking points one day, and you will find out. It works. It works. They cannot triangulate off of it. They cannot control the energy. Once we start controlling the energy, it's just going, it's going to go right in our direction. They cannot do anything about it. And I will go into a little more, a few more things here. See if I want to say anything else on a consistent message. Hopefully you understand why it's important. You got to have Thomas Paine. You got to have a common sense. You got to use that to promote your idealism. It's okay to have whatever group or ideal you want, but you got to use that first. Anything you if you have a consistent message articulated, you can go anywhere you want to go, baseball or basketball. Right? I can show you all kinds of mini commie revolutions. They were part velvet, especially in Africa. They were part dealing steel and part velvet. But they had to have a consistent message first. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's what we know how to do. We know how to make you look like a genius. You know, I'll be back and we're going to go in, a couple different directions, but I'm going to keep on, doing a review. And this review might go longer than I thought, simply because it's some of the stuff is so important for you to get again and again. I use some symbolism that was escaped on a lot of European rabbits, and that's the golden horn, the silver whistle. You can buy certain whistles that'll break glass. Yeah, they break it with sound. They don't break it by, you don't throw the whistle, you just blow the whistle and the glass breaks. It's an old trick. In the Bible, there's the sound symbolism with the children of Israel had to march around the walls of Jericho so many times and blow the horn. Well, the horn brought down the walls. The horn did that. Sound did it. Didn't matter how many times they tried to storm the walls. It didn't matter how many weapons they threw at the walls. They just stood there until they blew the horn until they hit the consistent note. And you can do other glass. You can blow certain whistles and they won't break. And then all of a sudden you hit the right note and the glass just shatters. That's how sound works. Sound is like that. The Berlin Wall, during your lifetime, most likely you saw the Berlin Wall come down. The Berlin Wall did not come down through bullets. Didn't call it to come down through warfare. No, it's just a different game. It came down through sound. They did it through a consistent message. At the right tone, at the right decimals, just boom, the wall came down. Now, Yugoslavia happened. There were some violent incidents as an outcome in places like Yugoslavia, but that happened well after the fact. First, you got to bring down the wall. That's what we know how to do, bring down walls. That's hopefully that simple, simplified symbolism. Some of this stuff, is for the English language. I haven't converted into other languages, per se. But we've noticed there's been questions about genocide. How is this genocide? Most rabbits on this planet are ill versed in international law. White rabbits, no different. If you're in America or anywhere in Western civilization, even in Russia, a lot of times to get an indictment, you got to get a grand jury and you got to present evidence to that grand jury, and then you get an indictment, then you get some kind of trial. Usually the trial's fair. For instance, if you went to trial for jaywalking and in London, it'd probably be pretty fair. If you went to trial for jaywalking in Iowa, it'd probably be pretty fair. It depends on what it is. If you went on trial for saying the word nigger in London, it probably would not be fair. You'd go to jail. But you get the point. You're generally going to get a trial, and those trials are determined to be fair. Most of the world thinks that the Western civilization has fair trials. Well, first off, there's never been a fair tribunal. There's a difference between a tribunal is what happens in international law. International law supersedes all national law. the definition of genocide is quite simple. The definition we're using is Article 2 of the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. It's basically from 1948, and everything has really come out of that. It happened after Nuremberg. Two events grandfathered in would have been the Holocaust, what happened in Nuremberg, but there's another event grandfathered in that you haven't heard about, and that's Ukraine, but they've never got anything going over that, the starvation in Ukraine, Holodomor, or whatever they call it. Millions and millions of Ukrainians starved to death. Yes, look it up. But basically, that was obviously genocide. And this is Article 2 of the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, and it was done in 1948. And it defines genocide as any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnic, or racial genotype or religious group as such. Racial means genotype. That's where you get the word genocide. If you take a hair from a little white rabbit's head, you can tell what race they are. You can tell your genotype. If you go to a local forensic pathologist, poor little white rabbit passed away. They could just from a hair on his head, they can tell you what race you are. Of course, they may not want to admit race exists because they got to keep their job. But there's kind of a contradiction there based on the fact that we're in a closed society. And I'll go more into that. But basically, that's what genotype is. You can't try to destroy that. Why? Because in 1948, someone passed laws. They came up with all these international laws preventing that. And they include the killing the members of a group. That's A. B, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. C, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. It's a very, very important one. Deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. D, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. E, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. These are all from 1948, and those are definitions we're going to be using. What you need to understand is that's some pretty broad stuff, isn't it? Yes, yes. You're not going to see a fair tribunal. You're not going to see one. They don't exist. Saddam Hussein is not going to get a fair tribunal. There's no voting in a tribunal. There's no jury voting to indict. It doesn't work like that. It's non-voting politics. It's practical politics. If you go in front of a grand jury, they're going to vote to indict or not indict. But you don't get a vote in a tribunal. They're not fair. Slobodan Milosevic did not get a fair tribunal. No, he didn't. He didn't. Probably innocent. But it doesn't matter once someone gets one going. Hopefully you understand that. Repeat that. It doesn't matter once someone gets going, whether you're innocent or not. You get called into tribunal for genocide, you're over with. You're done. They're going to hang you. Ethnic cleansing. A lot of people think they know the definition of ethnic cleansing, but they do not. The definition of ethnic cleansing as defined under the particular courts that this would be in is going to be rendering an area ethnically homogenous by using force or intimidation to remove from a given area persons of another ethnic or religious group or basically race, genotype. Render an area ethnically or homogenous by using force or intimidation. That most people think ethnic cleansing is when a lot of rabbits get wiped out. No. Not necessarily. Most people think genocide is something, you got to starve 30 million Ukrainians. No. An attempt at genocide can basically put you in a tribunal. An attempt at genocide where someone gets ethnically cleansed, you go in front of a secret panel of judges. Those judges issue ruling that there's been an attempt at genocide and an ethnic cleansing. Then you go full tribunals. It's like Nuremberg. It's most of it done in secret, and then once it gets going, it's like for the world to see. But that's how that stuff works now. You saw a show trial for Slobodan Milosevic. You saw a show trial for Saddam Hussein. But there was other trials that preceded that. But there's no voting. There's not a jury. You don't get a jury. You get a handful of judges that were most likely picked for you. You get the picture. You get in front of a handful of Russian judges with a couple German judges in some part of Eastern Europe. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. They're going to get one going, and they'll get one going very quickly. Now, where can you find out any information about attempted genocide? Well, there's been a whole industry. Every single person listened to it. If you want to do your homework, there's a whole industry created off these quotes. Some of them, the ones that you can find out about. In fact, when you come into the Jewish groups running Anglosphere, who did a lot of the social engineering programs, their quotes are endless. Yeah, Kevin McDonald wrote whole books about it. Their quotes all over Stormfront, direct quotes from Hebrew leadership about creating a blended humanity in only European countries and so on and so forth. Every single one listening to this has heard some crazy anti-racist say, I want my race to go extinct, so on and so forth. Chad in Iowa is probably doing it right now. Why? Because it takes 15 years of psychological warfare and they own Chad forever. He's done. Mentally, he's toast. But what you have to understand is common sense. Common sense to someone like me, I know immediately that someone had to also do that to the teachers, right? You got to have that going. You got to have those active measures in front of the teachers. You got to have the teachers teaching, which means you got to put in the textbooks. You got to plan those textbooks. Psychological warfare, it takes a lot of planning, believe it or not. You got to have someone come up with those messages. You got to have the social engineering schools. Those take a lot of money. Someone's got to fund them. The Frankfurt School is famous, but there's others. Someone's got to fund that. Someone basically has to articulate a message at a very high level. Why? Because everything starts with a sound. Everything starts with a sound. Before your average rabbi can say something ridiculous and end up in a Kevin McDonald book, or before Chad in Iowa can call for the death of his race, someone has to articulate that at a very high level. Now, I knew that. I knew that a long time ago. Well, what I did not know was what our side had. They had them articulating that at a very high level, over and over again, thousands and thousands of times. I mean, I've told you this and discreetly. All you got to do is be on a consistent message. You can't go there under an international law, because heaven forbid you don't get your New World Order in the 80s or something, and it goes all the way and the whole it goes all the way into 2000 something, and the whole thing crashes on you. You're going to hang. You're not walking away. They're not going to walk away. It's just too juicy. You can't fund that. You can't have anything to do with that. The Jane Elliotts, I've told you before, they're walking human rights violations. They're in I don't think most of them have any idea what trouble they're in. People that sitting in London that sit there and harass the little white rabbits, and they're all white by and large, they have no idea what trouble they're in. Some of their generals do. You know, there's soldiers and there's generals. There's generals, lieutenants, and soldiers, as I say, those three. Well, the generals keep their lieutenants uninformed for the most part, and they keep their soldiers really uninformed. There's some generals very afraid. They've been very afraid for a long, long time for certain reasons. But it's been very blatant. It's been very in your face. To be that in your face, most of them don't even realize. Jane Elliott will never realize with her blue eye, brown eye thing, how much danger she's in the right conditions. And those right conditions are coming right now. She's in a lot of danger. She's not in danger of someone dealing steel against her. She's in danger of a rope. Yeah, they have lists. Your side at the top has lists, believe it or not. My information is there's one list that goes well over 30,000 names, another list well over 50,000. But if you understand what I just told you about genocide, if you understand the parties involved and how they have no mercy once they get you down. I mean, you saw what happened to Saddam Hussein. They're not going to have any mercy. And that's not necessarily our side, but I'm giving you an example. There's no mercy in the tribunal. There's no voting. And now you understand why fear is in there. That's why I want you using genocide all the time. It's genocide. You know, I've given you many ways to go about it, but it's very important that you understand that there's been an attempt at genocide against you. Did it work? No. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it doesn't work. You know, if you attempt to wipe someone out and get caught, it doesn't matter if you didn't succeed. That's not the law. So there are no social constructs under international law. Timothy Weiss does not understand that. He will learn that the hard way. There are no social constructs. Saddam Hussein will not say, oh, the Kurds were a social construct. We're all Iraqis. It doesn't work that way. They know that. There's certain elements of them that know that. Of course they're terribly afraid. You're going to be terribly afraid, too. If you're a general and you know your name's on a list for funding something, because you can't fund that. You can't fund the Noel Ignatieff or whatever his name is at Harvard. I think he was funded by George Soros. You know, he calls for the death of the white race and that kind of stuff. You can't go there, because what happens if you went there and 40 years ago, someone on tape at a high-level meeting, like a Bilderberger meeting or something, said, we're going to wipe your race off the planet, and we're going to do it through immigration, so on and so forth, and et cetera, and we're going to use our networks and our power. Next thing you know, you got all these countries, white countries and only white countries, everyone's flooding in. They've been a change in immigration laws without voting. What type of power would it take for China, Korea, and Japan to all of a sudden tomorrow morning open its immigration up to non-East Asian and only non-East Asian? Well, it takes a lot of power to do that without a vote. It takes a hell of a lot of power. So I want you to use your head and take our word for it. I'm not playing games here. When Bob Whitaker writes a mantra like that, it sends a message loud and clear. When he's putting that out. And I've went into this before, but it's very important that you understand what genocide is and what it isn't. It is, you get a tribunal going, it's incalculable how no mercy. I mean, there are groups that would show no mercy. You can only use your imagination. And again, you can't deal steel against Saddam Hussein, but you can hang him in a tribunal for something he did against the Kurds. And if he gets into tribunal, he's going to hang. Slobodan Milosevic, they put him in jail forever, but they couldn't hang him simply because the evidence was that horrible. They couldn't hang him, but you understand the point. The judges, this type of thing, you're talking about wiping the Indo-European genotype off the planet. You can only imagine what they have. When you have Chad at Iowa calling for the death of his own race, well, that's a lot. It takes power. It takes power to do these things. It takes a lot of money to pull that off. And that's why we need you on a consistent message, a consistent way. And you're given that. That's fine. But just so you understand, one last thing I want to mention on 12, and that is in regards to distribution. I don't know where you're really going to be hearing this or where you're going to be really getting a hold of this. It doesn't really matter to me. There's different websites that are going to put this up. Different websites that look like small-time, home websites. I don't care. Try not to tamper with it too much. People have asked on Whitaker Online, is it okay to distribute over iTunes? Distribute it anywhere you want to distribute it. The only thing more dangerous than using a talking point is, of course, distributing it far and wide. Because you're going to get one or two that distribute it far and wide. A handful are going to get a hold of it in any given area, and that's all it takes. This is not necessarily for the masses. I've already discussed that. They don't do anything. These talking points simply control the masses. That's what talking points do. They work for the same reason that most smart people think they don't work, and for why smart people voted for Obama and got fooled. Why the masses are asses. Even smart ones are, sure. You don't believe me? Just start conditioning. If you're a little kid, just start conditioning your parents with them. It's comedy to watch this stuff work once it's geared, and this stuff is geared. But feel free. You don't have to ask us for anything. Someone asked something about doing over White Rabbit Genocide. I guess they thought that was pretty humorous. They were going to do it to cartoons and put it on YouTube or something. You could do anything you choose to do. You don't have to ask us. We play a simple game. Me a white rabbit, you a white rabbit. This is for the indigenous white rabbits of Europe, wherever they may be. You can do anything you choose to do with it as far as distribution. Share it with your friends. If it's not on iTunes or whatever, whoever was asking about that, if it's not there, put it there. It's no big deal. when you're playing the game in front of you, you can do anything you want to under the rules, and nothing we're doing is simply a consistent message in practical politics. They can't do anything about it. They don't want you to know we exist because they can't do anything about it. it's just the way it goes. If you're in the Wild Wild West and your enemy's in control, they don't want to know you have a Billy the Kid. That's common sense. They try to make sure no one knows about him. Well, we're here for you. And we're putting you on a consistent message. It's that simple. But feel free to distribute or do with it as you will. Don't ask, just do it. Just don't break any rules on any forum or any, you know, anything like that. Just operate under the rules, but there's nothing wrong with distributing it this far and wide. You know, it's called Bugs Follow the White Rabbit. But this is the end of 12, and 12 has been extra long because it's a total recap. It might as well have been a whole entire thing on Practical Politics by itself, but, you know, every once in a while you got to do a total recap like that. This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.